Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5. We'll read verses 17 through 21 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Ephesians 5, verses 17 through 21. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's finish on verse 21 together. Ready? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you that the presence of the Holy Spirit is here. Father, thank you that you seem to just kind of hover over our property here and make your presence known. We've sung praises to you. We've read your word aloud back to you. And now the most important time, the preaching of your word through the man of God. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts. Change our lives so that we could go out and reach others, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
If you came to church to be helped today, I'm just sure that's going to happen. Please listen to me. I want to help you, and I think that we'll accomplish that today. Not many months ago, could not sleep. I tried to get to sleep, and it was late in the evening. Mrs. Owens had dozed off, and she was asleep, and I got up, and I decided I was going to come to the church, and I did. I didn't go home all night. I didn't go home in the morning. I spent almost the whole night by myself in this auditorium. I prayed at every seat in the auditorium, the seats on the platform and in the choir. I tried to remember who sat at that seat as I prayed. After I'd prayed for hours and hours, I got down here at the altar, to be very honest, had a little talk with myself, talk with the Lord, but I was all alone in the church auditorium. It was just me and God. I would like to recommend to you today that you leave the crowd, and that it just be you, God, and my voice. Because what I'll talk to you about today is between you and God. I'm not going to talk to the person that sits to the right or to the left of you, the person behind you or in front of you. I just wish that there were somehow that you could draw a circle around you and for the next few minutes you just meet personally with your God. Let me read again a couple of verses to you that Brother Bush read with us a moment ago. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 18 and 19, "And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Now, let me say right off the bat, my introduction is going to include a little teaching here about singing. But the lesson's not about singing. It's not going to be about singing. The lesson is truly about the words where it says, speaking to yourselves. Speaking to yourselves. There in verse 19, it uses those words, speaking to yourselves. God is saying that you can help you by listening to the right kind of music. God is saying that you can help you by singing the right kind of music. God is saying you speak to yourself by singing psalms to yourself. God is saying you sing to yourself old-time gospel music, and you will be helping you. God is saying, you encourage yourself by singing spiritual songs to yourself. God is saying, you can virtually correct yourself by making spiritual melody in your heart. Now, we work on an awful lot of different relationships in our lives, and indeed we should. If you're going to have a good marriage, every husband and every wife need to work at that relationship. Brothers and sisters ought to be working on their relationship between one another. Every boy in here, every young lady in here, every brother, every sister, you ought to be working at being a better brother or a better sister. I think that every parent ought to be working at the relationship or the relationships with their children. I think we all need to be working on our relationships between followers and leaders. And we need to work on our relationships in regard to our friendships. I think all of us need to be working on our relationship with Christ Jesus and our relationships within the church. But let me tell you something. The reason we sometimes fail to improve our relationships with others is because we are failing with our relationship with ourselves. Of course, if you are truly working on your relationships with others, you're going to have to work on yourself. Now, did you know, you can't change me. I can't change you. I can't change Mrs. Owens. Mrs. Owens, dead sure, ain't going to change me. She discovered that a long time ago. And I hear counselors say, sir, you change your wife, or ma'am, you change your husband. Oh, poppycock, that's not how you fix a relationship. You get the husband to fix the husband and get the wife to fix the wife. If we can get both of you to get right with God, then you could have a good relationship. There's no man here that's going to make his wife change. There's no wife here that's going to make her man change. But listen, Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Hey, listen. You can't change others, but you could change you. Luke 10, 27 says, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and all thy soul, and all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. You're not going to get along with your neighbor if you can't get along with you. I mean, if you're the only one in the room and you can't get along with you, how's your neighbor going to enter the room and get along with you? And you're to love your neighbor. And one thing we don't lack in much is loving ourselves. Today, I want you to have a little talk with you about yourself. You know, I discovered something. And boy, are you going to find out what a genius I am now. Listen to the depth of what I'm about to say. You can't get away from you. You people that traveled from Maine, you come a long way to get the depth of this theology. I can't get away from me. Did you know you have to live with you? You know, you cannot wear a mask that hides the way you see you. Now, you may wear a mask that changes the way that I see you a bit, but you are not going to change the way you see you by just wearing a mask. You are stuck with you. You can't move away from you. You can't deny the presence of you. You can't hide from you. You can't take a vacation away from you. You've got to live with you. 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. 365 days a year, you are going to live with you. Now, everybody else, we can get away from them a little bit. I mean, there are times, some of you mamas, you just sent your children back to school for the year, and I know you love them. But a few of you, when you sent that child back the first day, you went, whoo, I am so glad they're in school. Why? Because you needed a break. There are some of you ladies, when your husband shoots off to work, you go, oh, I'm so glad he's out of the house. Hey, and you know something? I'm thrilled to death that we just had about 1,200 ladies here to visit at our conference.
1,200 ladies in one church, that could eat at a man. There were enough emotions in here to blow up Russia if they were all tucked into a bomb. I mean, woo! But you can't take a vacation away from you. You can't request a transfer away from yourself. You can't relocate to escape you. You can't get a divorce from you. You can't get a restraining order against yourself. Go down to the police department and say, there's somebody that's giving me a rough time, and I'd like for you to keep them off my property. Well, who is that, sir? I'm having a hard time with me. Can't do it. You can't ignore you for long. You got to deal with you. Hey, you can change churches all you want, my friend. But everywhere you go, you're going to be a member. You can't relocate you. If you do, you're going. You can lead you out of the back of the U-Haul, but you're going to get in the front and drive the rest of you wherever you're going. You can't resign on you. You can't run away from you. I'll tell you something. If you're not going to help you, nobody else can. You're going to have to learn to help yourself. If you don't like you, I think you're not going to notice if other people like you. There are people in here who say, I just don't think anybody likes me. Problem is probably the fact that you don't like you. Galatians 5:7, it says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? In that verse, it uses the word ye, you, and ye. Now, there are two people that hinder me from doing what I'm supposed to do. The devil has something to do with it, but he doesn't make the final decision. You know who hinders Jeff Owens from doing what Jeff Owens is supposed to do? Jeff Owens. You know, I don't want you to quit on yourself. There are some of you, and that's the name of my sermon, don't quit on yourself. Listen, our staff has no plan of quitting on you. Our teachers at Martinsburg Christian Academy have no plan on quitting on your children. Our Sunday school teachers have no plan on quitting on you. Hey, bus rider, your bus captain does not plan to quit on you. The youth workers do not plan on quitting on the teenagers around here. Our leaders in the church have no intention on quitting on the followers. As pastor, if God gives me the grace and the strength and the good sense that He makes available, if I'll just do what He says, I have no intention on ever quitting on anyone. God won't quit on you, Christian. Jesus won't quit on you. My biggest concern today is not about others quitting on you. My biggest concern is that you are a quitter on you. And I'm not promoting our enemy called humanism. I don't believe that you can do anything you think that you can do. I do believe that you can do anything God thinks you can do. I'll tell you a story. It's a true story. I wish it were not. Back when I was in Indiana, I had a Sunday school class full of young married couples. A young couple had come to my class. I will not mention their names. A young couple had come to my class one time, and they sat there, and after church, I met with them for a few minutes, and then that following week, I went to visit them. I took their visitor's card, and I found the street and found the address, and it was an old, run-down hotel in a small, distant city. I went to the office and I said, I'm looking for these people. They said they're in the certain number apartment or a certain number room. And so I went down and knocked on the door. I went into that little hotel room. It was just the room. There was a restroom there. Their three or four children had blankets laying on the floor. Mom and Dad had a couple of boxes from which they would take their clothes. That was their storage. There were cans of pre-heated foods and things around, convenience foods just laying around. I asked to talk to the man. We stepped out into the parking lot for a moment and we began to talk. And he said, "For the Owens, I'm embarrassed, but this is where we live. They let us rent this hotel room. And there's a sink in there, and there's, of course, the commode." He said, we'll take turns and go in there where that sink is, and we wash, and we all sleep here. My children sleep around the floor, and they've made this room available to us, and it's where we're living. And I said, "Listen, I want to try to be of a help to you." And he said this to me. He said, "Brother Owens," he said, "I'm a failure." He said, "I am a flop." He said, "I'm not a good husband. I'm not a good dad." He said, "I'm not good at anything." I took my Bible, tried to talk to him about salvation. Very frustrated man, and tell the truth, I never became real clear about whether I felt like he was saved or not. But I told him, I said, "Look, I want to help you. I want to be an encouragement to you. I think I can help you. I think I can help you and your family get your feet on the ground. And all you have to do is let me help you." And so we had that conversation. Over and over again, he said to me, "I'm a flop. I'm a failure. I'm a flop. I'm a failure. I'm a flop. I'm a failure." I got in my car. I drove away. The next day, on the local news, there was a story about a man who had gone into a parking lot and doused himself with gasoline and lit himself on fire and burned himself to death. I heard the story. It didn't mean anything to me at the moment other than the fact that I would hurt for someone that I did not know, but within 24 hours, I began to put the pieces of the puzzle together. I had just been in that parking lot speaking with that man, and it was the man that I'd tried to encourage. He gave up on himself. He threw in the towel on himself. You know, it doesn't matter how hard I try. If he won't try, all my trying would make no difference. He quit on himself. He gave up on himself. Folks, listen. God Himself cannot go beyond what you'll allow Him to do in your life. He has allowed you certain control over the reins of your life. He wants to help you. But I beg of you today, don't quit on yourself. Don't you ever quit on yourself. And I'm going to talk to you about that very thing this morning. Don't quit on yourself. You should not quit learning about yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5 says, "Examine yourself." Now listen to me, folks. Don't you quit learning about yourself. I think we sometimes, we do not know ourselves. and you need to learn some things about yourself. Hey, I recommend to everybody in here that you not quit learning about yourself. Desire to know about yourself. Know your weaknesses. Know your strengths. Know what encourages you. Know what discourages you. Don't quit on yourself. Hey, you ought to know your weaknesses. You ought to figure them out. Now, it won't take you long because you will find yourself failing at some of the same things repetitively. Now, thank God then, you can figure out where you seem to fall short. You can look at that thing and say, you know something? I just learned something about me. Now, nobody else can help me if I'm not willing to help me, and I have just discovered that I have a weakness. Now that I have that weakness, I can face that weakness. I can begin to learn that weakness. I can plan to fix that weakness. Don't live ignoring yourself. You need to get to know you a little bit. I'll tell you, I started to have far more victory in my life when I was willing to look Jeff Owens eyeball to eyeball and say, hey, I'm going to learn some things about you, and I am going to work on you. And I began to work on me. I learned my weaknesses. And, hey, I have learned to avoid certain things that I'm too weak to resist. You say, preacher, you should never be too weak to resist. I know. But there's some things I'm just struggling with. You ever been to the bakery where they have those cream horn things? Those pastries with that fluffy stuff in the middle? Man, I love those. I have to, when I see those things, did you know food can talk? I mean, when I see those things, I like see this little face come on the end and it says, sneak, sneak. I'm thinking, who was that? Sneak, sneak. And I like to make things happy. My wife, she used to bring those things home. I think they'd come in a pack of four. I'd say to myself, I think I'll eat half of one of those. Just so you know, I've never eaten a half of one of those. Matter of fact, I've never eaten just half a pack. I'll eat all four of them. We'll go to the store together, and we'll walk through that aisle where they have the pastries and things. My wife will say, honey, would you like some of these? I'll say, yes, but don't buy them. Because I won't resist. I have a, that when I travel, often churches will call back here and they'll say, could you give us a list of some of Brother Owens' favorite things? And we could put some snacks and things in his hotel room when he's with us. Say, Brother Owens, you put those cream horns on your list? No way. No way. Why? I'll eat them. And man can't live by bread alone. He's got to have cream horns too. You know, I've learned some things about me. I don't say no to cream horns. So you know what I don't do? I don't bring them home. And if I don't bring them home, they're too far away to get to them. If you got cream horns at your house, don't invite me to your house. I'll be weak. I've had to learn something about me. And you should not quit learning about you. Keep learning about you. Know your strengths. Hey, and I don't want you to know your strengths so you can exalt them. I want you to know your strengths so your pride does not destroy you. Allow your strength to be a blessing, not a curse to others. Let your God-given strength complement you, not curse you. You say, well, how do I know what are my God-given strengths? Any strength you have that's worth talking about was given to you by God. Not to use arrogantly, but to be used humbly in the service of God and for other people. You need to know what discourages you. Some of you have quit learning about you, and you're not growing in life like you could. You need to know what discourages you. Hey, better yet, you need to know who discourages you. There are people that are just discouragers. You get around them and you'll find yourself discouraged. You need to know. Hey, if you know who or what discourages you, when you begin to see it approach, you can prepare your heart and you don't have to get down and out after having been around them or it. You can prepare for it. Don't quit learning about you. I remember when payday would come. You work and 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 it's almost like you love payday. You can't wait to get that envelope and the paycheck in it. And then you take it home and you realize every bit of it is spoken for. And so payday is both bittersweet. It's a fantastic thing. You've got that money in your hand, but the minute you get it home, you realize none of it is going to be yours. You're going to give it all away. It can become discouraging. I had to teach myself how not to be discouraged after I got my paycheck home. I tried. You say, was it the distance from work to home? I tried. I tried driving around for 2 hours with the check just saying, nah, 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 nah. I still got my check. Didn't really help a lot. But I'll tell you something, you better learn what discourages you. You better learn what encourages you. You better learn what songs encourage you and what scripture encourages you and what people encourage you. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a man here this morning. He has been such an encouragement to me in the last couple of weeks. He doesn't even know it. I preached a sermon, maybe it was last Sunday or the Sunday before, I think it was a couple Sundays ago, I preached a sermon about called Prepared for Battle. And I talked about our minds and how to keep the devil from entering our minds. A man in our church, and he's come to me probably 5 or 6 times. I pulled on the property. He said, "Preacher, I'm going to tell you something. That sermon, it encouraged me." Then he came again. He said, "Preacher, I'm telling you, I listened to that sermon 3 or 4 times." He said, "I'm having victory." I came back to another church service. He said, "Preacher, I think I listened to that sermon 8 times now." He said, "That sermon's helping me." Now, that man has encouraged me, but that's not my point. My point is, that man found a sermon that encourages him. He has learned something about himself, and if I were you, sir, I'd keep that sermon handy, and about the time discouragement or that vice comes at you, pop that sermon in your CD player, just like the doctor would say, "Hey, here's an antibiotic to help you with what ails you." Pop that sermon in your tape player, pop that sermon in your CD player and say, "I know something about me and discouragement is on the horizon, and I know there's a sermon that encourages me." And folks, you can't go to the doctor for everything. You gotta learn to doctor yourself. Don't stop learning about yourself. Hey, you're not gonna love others right unless you can get the right relationship with you. You know, there's that song we sing, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." We could probably change the words to that. It's really, "We are still working on me," because He's not going to change you all by Himself. You've got to give Him permission and you've got to help Him. So we, Him and I, "We are still working on me to make me what I ought to be." Don't quit on yourself. Don't quit learning about you. You learn about you. Secondly, you should not quit giving yourself another chance. You should not quit on yourself by deciding no more chances. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." Let me tell you what this verse means. The Bible says a just man, turn this up just a little bit, Brett, so they match. I think it's just a little hollow. Here the Bible says a just man falleth 7 times but riseth up again. He said, "Brother Owens, I don't want to fall." Well, I wish we could arrange that, but I'll tell you the truth. We all do some falling. We all fall. We all do what we should not do. But God is saying here, a just man falleth 7 times but riseth up again. And I've heard it said, what that means is, for every fall down, you need to have a get up. So if you fall down once, just get up once. And if you fall down twice, just get up twice. And if you fall down three times, just get up. And if you fall down four times, just get up. If you fall down five times, just get up. If you fall down six times, just get up. If you fall down seven times, all you need to do is every time you fall down, get back up. You say, Brother Owens, how many times am I going to fall down? I cannot predict that. But I can tell you this, you could predict how many times you get back up. You say, how? Just decide for every fall down, you're going to have a get up. Say, Brother Owens, will I fall five times? I don't know. But you could say, I don't know how many times I'll fall, but I will do one thing. For every fall down, I'll have a get up. I'll have a get up. You've heard the old saying, if at first you don't succeed, try again. You see, we serve the God of a second chance. But the truth is, somebody wrote a song about us serving the God of a second chance. Well, we also serve the God of a third chance. And we serve the God of a fourth chance. And we serve a God of a fifth chance. And we serve a God of a sixth chance. And seventh, and eighth, and ninth, and tenth. Hey, you've been alive very long. We serve a God of a 100th chance, and a 200th chance, and a 300th chance. We're busy. We're falling all the time and getting back up. We've got a pretty good God. Our God is a God of a second chance. And if you want to be like God, then you need to give people a second chance, and a third chance, and a fourth chance, and a fifth chance. But wait a minute. If you want to be like God, you need to give you a second chance. And you need to give you a third chance. And you need to give you a fourth chance. And you need to give you a fifth chance. How many chances should I give myself, Brother Owens, until you succeed? Just get back up. Just keep saying to yourself, I'm going to get back up. I'm going to give myself another chance. I'm going to give myself another chance. I'm going to give myself another chance. Don't quit on being a good Christian. You know why people don't come back to church? They quit on being a good Christian. They come in here, they hear righteousness preached, they go out and try it, they fail at it, and say, I don't think I can do that. So they don't come back. Oh no, this church is full of failures. We're a bunch of flops. We fall down and get up, and 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 fall down and get up. You don't have to leave if you're afraid you're going to fall down. Just join the crowd. We'll help you get back up. But you need to give you a second chance or a third chance. Some of you need to become a spiritual friend to yourself. Become a spiritual friend to yourself. Because some of you, you're your own worst enemy. You're harder on you than everybody else is on you. Get up. Try again. I say this, don't quit on yourself. Don't quit learning yourself. Don't quit giving yourself another chance. Let me say this, don't quit forgiving yourself. Don't quit forgetting yourself. The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Thank God for a God who forgives. We've got a forgiving God. He's a forgiving God. He's a forgiver. And He forgives. And hey, I think you and I ought to learn to be like God. If you're here today and you've done wrong, and all of us have in one way or another, when we go to our God and say, Father, forgive me, He says, sure, I'll forgive you. Thank God we have a forgiving God. Thank God He's a God of a second chance. Thank God He doesn't quit on us. But we are to be forgiving to others. God forgives me. Now, I should forgive others. But let's go back to myself. I should go and maybe I need to seek God's forgiveness. And I will. And I do. I might hurt someone. I might hurt Brother Bush. Now, I'll go to God and I'll say, God, you forgive me for hurting my dear brother. And God will forgive me. Well, I may need to go to Brother Bush and say, Brother Bush, I let you down, and I'm sorry, and I was wrong, and I want you to forgive me. You know, I'll tell you what's wrong with some of your, you know, when you try to get your relationships together, you always want to make the statement on why it went the way it went. It'd be good if some people would learn how to apologize without having to stand their ground. Why can't you just say you're sorry and get your ego and your pride out of it? No, can't you go to God and say, God, I'm sorry. No excuses, Brother Bush. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my behavior. I'm sorry. And hey, and I could get God's forgiveness, and I could get Brother Bush's forgiveness. Then it might be good if you would forgive yourself. See, if God can forgive you, and if Brother Bush can forgive you, then you need to learn to forgive you. You need to forgive yourself for hurting someone else. Or forgive yourself for hurting God. But there are some people, you are so depressed about your bad behavior, you're ruining your life. Right. If you did wrong, go get forgiveness. And some of you need to say, okay, if God's going to forgive me, and if my friend forgives me, I need to forgive me and go on. I know you're disappointed in yourself, but you are wasting your life. How? Being depressed all the time about the dumb move that you made or that thing that you did. You're so disappointed in yourself that you're worthless. Your lack of forgiveness of yourself is limiting you. When we have a conference, sometimes people call and pastors and things call from out of town and they say, Brother Owens, we're going to be in town. Could you work out a counseling appointment for us while we're there for the conference? To which I never agree. We've just got way too many things to do around here for me to be having counseling with people from out of town. I don't know how it happened, but I was at my office door midday yesterday, and somebody knocked on the door, and I thought it might have been one of you, and we needed to deal with something in regard to the conference, and there was a lady standing there, and she was crying. And I'd never met her. She'd never met me. And she was just crying, and she was crying out of control. And she said, could I have a moment? I said, sure, just step in. It took her probably 3 minutes just to get the courage up to talk to me. She kept crying and heaving and crying. I didn't know her name. I never met her. I wasn't sure who she was. And finally, she said, I hurt some people, and I don't like myself, and I can't stand me. I said, ma'am, have you gone to the Lord and asked Him to forgive you? I have. She said, I don't know who they are. There's some people that I hurt, and I'm so sorry. I said, ma'am, listen, if you've asked God to forgive you, and to those that you can go to and ask forgiveness, if you've asked that forgiveness, then you need to go on. She said, I don't like me. I said, listen, you're going to have to forgive you too. You know something? She'll be unproductive in life. Can I tell you why God forgives you so readily? He doesn't want you walking around going, oh, everything's terrible. I'm worthless. I can never do anything. God said, you're forgiven. Get up. Get going. Don't waste the rest of your life. You can't cry over spilled milk. Now go do something. That's why God said, I'll forgive you. Now you get out there and go make something happen. And then God said, you and I ought to forgive each other. Why? If we don't, we weigh down our spirit with that lack of forgiveness. We're unproductive for God. So God said, the quicker you can forgive and the quicker someone forgives you, the sooner you can get back out there serving me and showing a lost and dying world what a Christian's supposed to be like. But wait, if you don't forgive you and you don't go on, then you're unproductive because of a lack of forgiveness toward yourself. So God said, forgive yourself and get on with it. Hey, don't you quit on you. Don't you quit learning you. Don't you quit giving yourself another chance. Don't you quit. You forgive yourself. Don't quit on yourself. If a perfect God can forgive you, you can forgive yourself. And don't come across arrogant. I'll never forgive myself for my evil ways. Well, I'm not sure I quite understand that. If God can forgive you of your evil ways, how did you become so arrogant to think that you should exalt your opinion of righteousness above His? He's trying to say to you, that'll get you down, that'll depress you, that'll weigh you down. Now, if God forgave you, He said, now you forgive you and go serve. That does not mean you should not learn from your wrongdoing, not at all. But it should not hover over you. It should not weigh down your spirit. Some of you need to just keep forgiving yourself and keep trying again. Hey, number four, you should never quit encouraging yourself. You're going to have to learn to encourage yourself. You're going to have to encourage yourself about your growth in the Christian life. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But growth in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory and both now and forever." Here the Bible talks about growth in grace. None of us are where we should be. But that's not the issue at the moment. Here's what I want you to do. I think all of us have enough good sense to know that none of us are where we're supposed to be. But here's what I want to point out to you. The question today is not, are you where you're supposed to be? The question I want to ask you today is this: are you where you used to be? You may not be everything you're supposed to be, but are you where you used to be? Now, if you say, Brother Owens, I've been coming to this church for 2 years, and I'm the same arrogant, nasty, vile, critical person I was 2 years ago, now you got a problem. But I don't think anybody in here can say, I am where I was 2 years ago. I am where I was 3 years ago. I am where I was 4 years ago. The question is not, are you where you're supposed to be today? The question is, are you where you used to be? And if you're not where you used to be, that means you have grown. And don't you quit on yourself. You are growing. Don't quit on yourself. Don't give up on yourself. Notice your growth. You know, I don't think any of us give the rest of us credit for the growth that we experience. But stop and look at it. I'm not talking about being full of pride. I'm not talking about you being arrogant. I'm talking about you saying, I have grown. I'm doing better. You've got a raunchy temper. You used to lose it 7 days a week. Now you're down to 6. You've grown. Right. Or you're down to 5. You've grown. You're down to 4. You've grown. You're down to 3. You've grown. You're down to 2. You've grown. You're down to 1. You've grown. You don't have a temper anymore. You're a liar. Stop comparing yourself to everybody else's growth. You just keep you growing. You keep you going. Hey, don't you compare yourself to anybody else but Jesus, or you compare the you of today in your Christian life to the you of a year ago, or to the you of 2 years ago. But look, folks, nobody else can help you if you won't help yourself. Don't quit believing in your own growth. You can grow. Don't give up on yourself. You know, I don't think any of us get all the encouragement we feel like we need from everybody else. Maybe there's always times when we wish that somebody would encourage us. But folks, do you know that your Christianity is not to be dependent on other people? Now, we depend on each other a lot. But our Christianity is, I need to meet with God, and I need to see how God's growing me, and I need to notice the work that God's doing in my life, and if I will, I'm probably more apt to see the work that God's doing in somebody else's life. So, I say, don't you quit on yourself. Don't you do it. Don't you quit on yourself. Don't you quit learning about you. Don't you quit giving yourself another chance. Don't you quit forgiving yourself. Don't you quit encouraging yourself about growth. And I want to encourage you not to be satisfied with yourself. Don't quit on striving to go forward. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Notice, you ought to desire growth. Desire growth. Don't you get lazy about you. I think that everybody in here needs to continue to push themselves to go forward in life. Don't you get this idea that you're a finished product. You're not. We have a wonderful ministry for our senior citizens here. Hey, every senior citizen here, you better stop and realize something. You're to keep growing. You're to keep growing. Oh, well, Brother Owens, I've been in the church 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Uh-huh. You're to keep growing. Brother Dwayne Peterson, one of our deacons. Brother Peterson, how long have you been in this church? 1952, he came to this church. I was so pleased. The other day, he and I had prayed at one of the men's prayer meetings, and we were getting up off of our knees, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I am learning so much on Wednesday nights. I am growing so much." Now, there's a fella that's been in the church since 1952, and he has not quit growing. He's not quit growing. He decided, I want to continue to grow, and I want to continue to learn. Don't you get lazy about you. Hey, I do want you to work on you, and to forgive you, and to encourage you, but somebody needs to motivate you. Somebody needs to get you to press for the high calling. Somebody needs to get you moving. You won't feel like somebody's behind you prodding you along if you'd get behind you and prod you along. There are way too many Christians that are satisfied with themselves. Some of you need to step out of your comfort zone. You need to step out and do something that challenges you. Very pleased again. One of our men came to see me this week, and a productive opportunity came available here in the church. And he came and he said, "Preacher," he said, "it's going to be a big step of faith. For me to adjust my schedule and to get involved with that thing right there, it's going to be a big step of faith, and it's going to be new to me." God bless you, buddy. That's what it's all about. Step out of that comfort zone every once in a while. We get us this little niche, and we get this little ditty that we do, and we just stay there, and we don't require any extra of ourselves. We don't make ourselves expand. We don't make ourselves grow. Every one of us need to be motivating ourselves all we can to grow. You're not a finished product. That only comes when we get to heaven. People who are satisfied with themselves have the wrong opinion of themselves. You're hiding from the truth about yourself. Now, be satisfied with what God has given you. Don't be satisfied with what you have given God. Be satisfied with what God has done for you, but don't be satisfied with what you have done for Him. Some people say Jesus satisfies. Oh, He'll satisfy and He'll give you the security that you're going to heaven and you can know that you're saved. And that is a very satisfying thing. But I'll tell you something about the Christian life. Somebody that is truly close to Jesus Christ find themselves very dissatisfied. You say, with what? With themselves. You get around somebody that's perfect all the time, you're going to be struggling with yourself a bit. And if you're spending any time with Jesus, you're constantly saying, "Boy, I need to work on me. Boy, I need to grow." Jesus satisfies. Indeed, He does. He'll satisfy the longing of your soul. What's it talking about? It's talking about you getting to heaven. Hey, once you're saved, you're always saved. That's all taken care of. You can have the security of knowing you're going to heaven. But Jesus Christ will cause you to get dissatisfied with yourself while you're working on yourself and cleaning yourself up and striving to do more and looking for victory. You need to make sure that you don't quit cleaning you up. You make sure you don't become too satisfied with you. And so I say to you today, you need to keep working on you. Don't quit learning you. Don't you quit giving you another chance. Don't quit forgiving you. Don't quit encouraging yourself. Don't be satisfied with you. You keep encouraging you to reach for new heights. And don't you let you go to hell. 2 Corinthians 13:5a says, "Examine yourself whether you be in the faith." Now, We have visitors here today. We have church members here today. But I'm going to make something very clear to you. There are only two people that know whether you're going to heaven or not. That's you and God. Now, I believe Brother Dewan gives testimony of being born again. And I'll trust that testimony. But he's the one that knows whether he's saved or not, not me. You pop into this church as a visitor and you're religious. Being religious never got anybody to heaven. Either you have realized that you're a sinner, there is a penalty for your sin, and that is going to hell, death in hell, separated from God for all eternity. And you realize that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. And either you realize you are a sinner and that there was a penalty on your sin and that Jesus Christ paid that penalty in its entirety. You didn't do anything to get saved and you turn to Him and ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Commit your heart and be your Savior. If you've not done that, you're not going to heaven. But you could take all of us out. You could put up your religious front and you could talk your religious talk and all of that and say, oh, I'm going to heaven. There's only two people that know whether you're going to heaven or not. That's you and God. Don't you let you go to hell. You might want to try to blame your mom or blame your dad or blame some church that you are a part of, but you will go to hell for yourself. Nobody's going to go to hell for you. You will face God with the fact that you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You will face Him on your own. So I say to you, don't you let you go to hell. You might be a church member. You might have been a member of this church for years. But if you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't you let you go to hell. Don't quit on yourself. That man took gasoline, doused his body, took a match, and burned himself to death. He quit on himself. It's bad when our family members or our friends or leaders or whoever quits on us. It's bad. But I'm not real sure there's anything worse than a person who quits on themselves. Self-preservation is a real, real strong urge. Don't you quit on you. I can help you no more than you let me help you. God can help you no more than you let God help you. Don't quit on you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.